Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're really tackling a pretty big shift happening in the insurance world.
Yeah, it's all kind of sparked by this bulletin, right? From the Wisconsin office of the Commissioner of Insurance.
Exactly. It's all about artificial intelligence, how it's being used, and maybe more importantly, how it should be used ethically, effectively.
And we're also pulling in some material from a continuing education course, Artificial Intelligence and Insurance Supporting Consumers Ethically and Effectively. So kind of looking at it from a couple of angles.
Right. So our goal really is to give you a clear picture of how AI is impacting your work, especially if you're maybe with a small or mid-sized agency.
Uh-huh. We want to look at, you know, where AI fits in now, what these new rules from Wisconsin might mean.
The ethical side of things, definitely.
Yeah, and some practical ways you could even start thinking about using it, maybe, and what's coming next.
And hopefully do all that without making your head spin with super technical jargon.
That's the plan.
Okay, so here's something that that jumped out at me right away. This Wisconsin bulletin, it acknowledges AI could be great, you know, for innovation, better service.
Yeah, the upside.
But then, boom, right away, it flags these potential risks for consumers. Things like accuracy issues, potential discrimination, data security worries.
And just not being clear how it all works, right? Lack of transparency.
Exactly. So it's not just shiny new tech. There are some real consumer protection questions right at the heart of this.
For sure. It sets the stage for a balanced look, I think. The benefits and the challenges.
Okay, let's dig in and see what this really means for you.
So maybe first things first, let's try and pin down what we actually mean when we say AI in, you know, the insurance world.
Good idea. Because it's not really about sci-fi robots making underwriting decisions, is it?
No, not quite. Basically, we're talking about sophisticated software, tools that are designed to look at huge amounts of data,
okay,
spot patterns in that data, and then based on those patterns, either make recommendations or even decisions.
So like stuff we use all the time.
Exactly. Think about how your email filters out spam. That's learning, right? Or your GPS finding the quickest route.
Or even Netflix suggesting shows I might like. Sometimes accurately.
Right. Those all work on pretty similar ideas, analyzing data, making predictions or classifications.
Okay. So bringing that into insurance, that what are the main types of AI that are really relevant here?
Well, the big ones you hear about are first, machine learning. That's basically systems getting better at doing something as they see more data without someone having to explicitly program every single rule.
Okay, they learn.
Yeah. Then there's predictive analytics. That's using historical data, you know, past information to try and forecast what might happen in the future, trends, probabilities, that kind of thing.
Like predicting risk.
Exactly. And the third main one is natural language processing, or NLP. That's about enabling computers to, well, understand and process human language, like reading text or understanding spoken words.
Got it. ML, predictive analytics, NLP. Okay. So thinking about insurance agents listening, how might they already be like bumping into this stuff in their day-to-day work, maybe without even realizing it?
Oh, you'd probably be surprised. That spam filter we mentioned, that's often machine learning.
Right.
When you use a carrier's portal to get a quote, the engine calculating that premium is almost certainly using predictive analytics, drawing on tons of data points.
Makes sense.
Comparative raters, the tools that let you get quotes from multiple insurers quickly. They can use AI to, you know, help with data entry, make sure things are consistent.
Uh-huh.
Even searching a carrier's online knowledge base. If you type in a question, NLP is probably working behind the scenes to understand what you're asking for and find the right document.
And what about those flags in agency management systems, like this renewal might need attention?
Yeah, that could definitely be predictive analytics too. Looking for patterns that suggest maybe a client is more likely to shop around or needs a policy review.
Well, okay, so it really is kind of woven in already, isn't it?
It is, often quietly.
Which makes understanding the bigger picture, how it's changing the whole market, even more important.
Right.
Let's talk about that Lakeside Insurance example from the course materials. How did they change?
Lakeside's a great case study for this. Think about it. Maybe 10 years ago, their underwriting was mostly manual. People looking at paper, making judgment calls.
Right. The traditional way.
Claims adjusters would physically go out to see most damage. And pricing, maybe updated once a year based on overall loss experience.
Okay.
Fast forward to today, AI systems might instantly flag potential risks on a new application based on data analysis. Their pricing models, they could be updating almost continuously, reacting to new data points.
Wow.
And for simpler claims, AI might analyze photos a policyholder uploads through an app, No adjuster visit needed, maybe.
So for an independent agent working with a carrier like that, what does it feel like? What changes?
Well, the upside is potentially faster quotes, right? Maybe the ability to offer more customized policies because the system can handle more variables. Claims could get processed quicker.
Sounds good. But any downsides?
Well, yeah. There are new challenges. Like, how do you explain a premium that's based on some complex AI model to your client? What about data privacy concerns? Is the process fair?
Right. The transparency thing again.
Exactly. The whole insurance ecosystem is adapting. You've got tech startups offering new AI risk tools, established insurers trying to integrate AI, and regulators like Wisconsin trying to figure out the guardrails.
So AI is clearly a powerful force, but it seems like there are also some, I don't know, common misunderstandings about it. What are some big misconceptions we should probably clear up?
Yeah, there are definitely a few. One huge one is the idea that AI can just completely replace human judgment.
Like agents are obsolete.
Right. But AI, well, it lacks empathy, doesn't it? It doesn't understand the nuances of a person's situation, the emotional context. They can't really do ethical reasoning like a human can.
Okay. Good point. What else?
Another is that AI is always objective or unbiased. That's a biggie.
But it's just math, right? How can it be biased?
Because it learns from data. And if the historical data it learns from reflects existing biases in society, well, the AI can end up learning and even amplifying those biases.
Oh, okay. Garbage in, garbage out, kind of.
Sort of, yeah. Or maybe bias in, bias out. Then there's the idea that AI is infallible, that it never makes mistakes.
Which isn't true for any software, really.
Exactly. Bugs happen, data can be weird, models can get things wrong. Another one is that you need, like, a massive budget to use AI.
Is that not true?
Not necessarily anymore. There are tons of more affordable, accessible tools popping up, especially cloud-based stuff. Things smaller agencies can actually use.
Okay, good to know.
And maybe the last big one is thinking AI is some far-off future technology.
But as we just discussed, it's already here.
It's here now, yeah. Embedded in tools we're using every day.
Okay, those are really helpful clarifications.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears a bit and look at some specific ways AI is being used right now. Think about a typical client journey from them just starting to look for insurance to maybe filing a claim. Where might AI pop up?
Oh, it can be involved at almost every step. Take the Garcia family from the course example. Their journey might start with online research. They might interact with an AI chatbot on an insurer's website asking basic questions, or use an online calculator. Those often use AI algorithms for estimates. Even the search results they see on Google are influenced by AI.
Right. Then maybe they decide to contact an agent.
Yep. And maybe they use an online scheduling tool that could be AI-powered. The agency's CRM system might use AI to prioritize that lead based on certain data points. If they call in, an automated system might route their call using AI.
Okay. So they buy a policy. What then?
Well, AI could be used to automatically generate the policy documents. Some systems might monitor public data for life events, like buying a new house, that could trigger a suggestion for a coverage review.
Interesting.
Renewal premiums might be adjusted based on predictive models. They might even get automated emails suggesting they bundle their home and auto.
And then, inevitably, maybe a claim happens.
Right. They might report the claim via a mobile app, which uses AI to guide them through the process. AI could pull in weather data to verify details of a storm claim, for example.
Analyzing photos of damage.
Yeah, absolutely. Analyzing photos for initial assessment is a big one. And AI might even route the claim to the best suited adjuster based on complexity or claim type.
Wow. It really sounds like it's touching almost every part of that process.
It can, yeah.
But the course materials made a really important point here, didn't they? About the agent's role.
Absolutely crucial point. Even with all this tech, the human agent is still essential. AI is great for efficiency, for insights from data, but it can't replicate empathy. It can't do complex, nuanced problem solving in the same way. It can't build that long-term trust relationship.
So the human connection is still key.
Totally. The tech should be seen as a tool for the agent, something to augment their skills, not replace them.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's zoom in a bit more. How is AI being used differently across various lines of insurance? What about, say, property and casualty?
PNC is seeing a lot of AI. For property, think about analyzing satellite or aerial images. AI can assess roof conditions, proximity to wildfire risk, maybe even identify unreported swimming pools.
From a picture?
Wow. Yeah. Predicting localized hailstorm severity, identifying maintenance issues that might lead to a water damage claim down the line.
And for auto?
Telematics is huge, right? usage-based insurance using driving data analyzed by AI, and that photo analysis for damage assessment after an accident, that's becoming really common for speeding up claims.
Okay. What about life insurance? That feels like such a personal, human-centric area. How's AI fitting in there?
It is personal, but AI is making inroads, especially in underwriting. Accelerated underwriting is a big driver.
Making it faster to get approved.
That's the goal. Using AI to analyze wider data sources, maybe pharmacy records, public records, stuff like that, to assess risk more quickly. Sometimes without needing a full medical exam. Predictive models assessing mortality risk are getting more sophisticated. NLP can scan through lengthy medical records to pull out the key information much faster than a human could.
Are there more futuristic things, like analyzing photos?
Yeah, that's emerging. Using facial analytics from a photo to potentially identify health markers relevant to risk. It's still early days and raises ethical questions, but it's being explored.
Interesting. And health insurance, where's AI being applied there?
Lots of potential in health. Using predictive models to identify patients who might benefit from, say, preventative outreach for chronic conditions?
Or active care.
Exactly. NLP can help coordinate care by analyzing doctor's notes or patient communications. Fraud detection is a big area for AI in health claims. And machine learning helps optimize provider networks, figuring out the best mix of doctors and hospitals for cost and access.
Okay. Now, for businesses, how is AI helping with commercial insurance?
For business insurance, AI tools can analyze a company's operations, industry trends, even online reviews to get a better handle on their specific risks.
Beyond just the standard application question.
Right. Predictive models might spot potential coverage gaps they have. Computer vision analyzing images or video is being used for things like workplace safety assessments. NLP can digest complex business documents like contracts.
Customizing coverage.
Yeah, there's potential there too, especially for small businesses using AI to tailor packages more precisely to their niche needs.
And finally, what about more specialized lines? Annuities, long-term care, is AI relevant there too?
It is, yeah. Maybe less widespread so far, but it's happening. For annuities, AI can help optimize product design or illustrate complex payout scenarios more clearly for clients.
Okay.
For long-term care, AI is being looked at to help predict future care needs based on health data or even identify individuals who might be good candidates for LTC insurance.
So it really is spreading across the board. Now, a big question from many listeners, especially those in smaller agencies, is this AI stuff only for the big players with deep pockets? Or are there tools that smaller agencies can actually use?
That's a really important point. And the good news is it's not just for the giants anymore. There are definitely accessible options.
Like what?
Well, first, many carriers are building AI features into their agent portals. Enhanced quoting tools, maybe some basic risk assessment insights. Stuff you get access to just by working with them.
Okay, so leveraging carrier tech.
Exactly. Then there are cloud-based software solutions. You subscribe, you don't need to buy servers or hire IT staff. Lots of agency management systems, CRMs, marketing tools are incorporating AI features this way.
More manageable costs.
Right. And there are focused AI tools for specific tasks, maybe an AI chatbot for your website or an email marketing tool with AI-powered suggestions. You don't have to boil the ocean.
That example of Elena Rodriguez's agency in the course, she seemed to be using a mix of things.
She was. She used AI features in her AMS, tools from her carriers, a comparative rater, social media management software with AI analytics, even just a basic virtual assistant for scheduling. It was all stuff that was affordable and didn't require her to become a tech expert.
That's really encouraging. So you can get started without breaking the bank.
Definitely.
Okay, let's talk about the practical side for agents using these tools. What are the real benefits they're seeing? And what are the downsides or limitations they need to watch out for? Let's use Frank Miller's experience from the course as a guide. Benefits first.
Efficiency is a big one, Frank mentioned. Automating routine stuff frees up so much time. Think email sorting, pre-filling forms based on past data, getting initial quotes pulled quickly, processing simple endorsements.
More time for clients.
Ideally, yeah. Another benefit is potentially understanding clients better. AI can analyze data to spot patterns in behavior, maybe predict life events, segment clients for more targeted communication. Things like sentiment analysis on emails or call transcripts can give insights.
Getting deeper insights from the data you already have.
Right. And risk assessment can become more accurate. AI can look at way more data points than a human ever could, identify complex correlations, maybe spot risks that aren't immediately obvious. Visualization tools can help make sense of it.
So, better insights, better risk assessment. Does that translate to the client experience?
It should. Things like 200-4/7 access to info via chatbots, faster quotes, more personalized recommendations because the system understands their profile better, quicker claims payments in some cases, maybe even proactive advice. Hey, we see a hailstorm predicted for your area. Here's how to prepare.
Those sound like pretty compelling advantages. But Frank also hit some limitations, didn't he? What were the main ones?
Yeah, really important to keep these in mind. The biggest one maybe is the empathy gap.
We touched on that. AI just doesn't feel.
Exactly. It can't offer genuine comfort after a loss or understand the fear and uncertainty a client might be feeling. That Thompson Fire case in the course really highlighted that the AI processed the claim efficiently, but the client needed human reassurance.
Critical difference. What else?
Data quality and bias are huge concerns. If the data used to train the AI is flawed or reflects historical discrimination, like maybe charging higher rates in certain neighborhoods based on biased historical data, the AI will perpetuate that. Frank saw that potential issue with diverse neighborhoods.
The bias in, bias out problem again.
Yep. Then there's the explanation challenge. Sometimes AI models are like black boxes. They give you an answer, but it's hard to understand why. Try explaining that to a client who wants to know why their premium went up.
Yeah, the computer says so. Doesn't really cut it.
Not at all. And finally, there's the risk of just relying too much on the tech. Agents might lose some critical thinking skills or struggle with situations that are unique and don't fit the AI's patterns. The human judgment needs to stay sharp.
Okay. Empathy gap, bias, explainability, over-reliance. Those are definitely things to watch. Now, cost is always a factor, especially for smaller agencies. Carol Wu's experience in the course focused on being cost-effective. What were her main strategies?
Carol really showed that you don't need a huge budget. Her first point was leveraging the tools carriers provide. Many offer AI features in their portals, now enhanced quoting. Maybe some underrating insights, often at no extra direct cost to the agent.
So start with what's already available.
Exactly. Then look at affordable third-party solutions. Lots of cloud-based tools have reasonable monthly subscription fees. Think CRM systems with AI features, email marketing platforms, maybe those comparative raters we mentioned. Some examples in the course, it costs like $50 or $100 a month, manageable for many.
Okay. What about even cheaper options?
She found value in free or very low-cost general AI tools, too. Voice assistants like Alexa or Google Assistant for setting reminders or scheduling. Grammar checkers like Grammarly for professional emails. Social media scheduling tools often have free tiers with some basic analytics.
Using everyday tech smartly.
Right. And maybe her biggest takeaway was how to implement. Don't try to do everything at once. Start small. Pick one specific problem or inefficiency in your agency, maybe managing email follow-ups.
Find one pain point.
Yeah. Implement a focused tool to address that. See how it goes. Learn from it. Get your team comfortable. Then maybe tackle the next thing. Scale up gradually.
That sounds much less daunting.
Yeah.
Start small. Leverage existing tools. Look for affordable subscriptions. Good advice.
Very practical, I thought.
Okay, let's pivot now to the ethical side, which is a huge part of that Wisconsin bulletin, the legal and regulatory landscape. Jamal Washington's experience in the course laid this out. What's the foundation here?
The core message from regulators seems to be the fundamental rules haven't changed just because the technology is new. Consumer protection laws, rules about solvency, market conduct, fair pricing, they all still apply.
So AI doesn't get a free pass.
Not at all. Think about basic unfair trade practice laws that have been around forever. No misrepresentation, no false advertising, no unfair discrimination, no illegal rebating, handle claims fairly, no tied selling. All that still applies, whether a human does it or an AI system does it.
Can you give an example? How might AI violate one of those?
Sure. The course mentioned an example where an AI might, quote, hire auto insurance premiums to someone just because they visited the website multiple times, inferring maybe they were desperate or less price sensitive. That could potentially be seen as an unfair practice if not properly justified.
Interesting. What about rules specific to insurance?
Right. Underwriting and rating rules are key. Premiums can't be excessive, inadequate, or unfairly discriminatory. That last one is critical with AI.
Unfairly discriminatory. How does AI risk crossing that line?
Well, imagine an AI system that learns, maybe inadvertently, that people who buy insurance between midnight and 4 a.m. are higher risk and charges them more. Is the time of purchase really a fair, causally related risk factor? Regulators would question that. It might be discriminating unfairly.
Okay. What about claims?
Same principles apply. Insurers have obligations to investigate claims promptly, communicate clearly, evaluate fairly, and provide a reasoned explanation for their decisions. If an AI system denies a claim based on, say, misinterpreting photos of water damage, and there's no clear explanation or human review, that could violate claims handling regulations.
And disclosure.
Transparency.
Good focus there. Regulations increasingly expect insurers to notify consumers when AI is used for significant decisions, what types of personal data are being used, and how they can potentially request a human review if they disagree with an automated decision.
So transparency is becoming a requirement.
It seems to be heading that way, yes.
Now, that term unfair discrimination keeps coming up. Let's dig into that specifically. How does AI potentially lead to unfair discrimination, especially against protected classes?
This is probably one of the biggest ethical and regulatory concerns. One major way is through proxy discrimination.
Proxy discrimination. It's when the AI doesn't use a protected characteristic directly, like race or religion, which is usually illegal, but instead uses a different factor that is highly correlated with that protected characteristic and ends up having a similar discriminatory effect.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Zip code is a classic one. An AI model for homeowners insurance might not use race directly, but if it heavily penalizes certain zip codes that happen to be predominantly minority neighborhoods, it could effectively discriminate based on race, even if unintentionally. The zip code acts as a proxy for race.
Ah, I see. So even if the intent isn't discriminatory, the outcome can be. What are some common proxies regulators worry about?
The course listed several, things like credit score, education level, occupation, shopping behavior, internet browsing history, even language patterns or grammar could potentially correlate with protected characteristics like race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, age, or disability, and lead to discriminatory outcomes if used improperly in models.
So insurers need to be really careful about the data points they feed into these AI systems.
It's extremely careful. They need to scrutinize whether a factor is truly predictive of risk or just acting as a stand-in for a protected class.
What other ways can discrimination creep in?
Another is disparate impact. This is when a seemingly neutral policy or practice, maybe applied uniformly by an AI, ends up having a disproportionately negative effect on a protected group, even without discriminatory intent.
Like the zip code example again?
That could be disparate impact too, yeah. Or imagine a health insurance AI that prioritizes preventative care outreach based on past clinic usage. If certain groups historically had less access to clinics for reasons unrelated to their health needs, the AI might inadvertently give them lower priority, leading to worse health outcomes. Disparate impact.
Okay. And what about feedback loops?
That's a tricky one. It's when the AI's own actions reinforce existing biases. For example, if an AI system learns to predict claim fraud based on past data where investigations were maybe biased, it might flag claims from a certain group more often. This leads to more scrutiny, maybe more denials for that group, which then feeds back into the system as evidence that this group is higher risk, making the bias worse over time.
Wow, that sounds like a vicious cycle.
It can be, yeah. It amplifies the initial bias.
So given all these risks, proxy discrimination, disparate impact, feedback loops, what are regulators expecting in terms of transparency?
It's evolving, but the trend is towards clearer communication. For consumers, this often means specific notices.
When would you need to give a notice?
Typically when AI is used to make a significant decision about them underwriting eligibility, premium rates, claim denial.
What should the notice say?
Generally, the fact that AI was involved, maybe the types of data used, the purpose or potential impact of the AI decision, and crucially, information about their rights, like how to contest the decision or request human review. The life insurance underwriting disclosure example in the course was good, clearly stating AI was used alongside traditional factors and providing contact info for questions.
And for the regulators themselves, what do insurers need to document?
They're expecting more documentation on how the AI systems actually work, what data sources are used, how is the model built and tested, how is it monitored for performance and bias, what governance processes are in place. They want to be able to look under the hood if necessary.
So insurers need to keep good records.
Like, absolutely. Robust documentation is becoming key for compliance.
Are there other regulatory trends emerging around AI?
Yes, several things are being discussed or implemented in various places. Things like requiring formal algorithmic impact assessments before deploying certain AI systems. A potential right to explanation for consumers affected by automated decisions, stronger requirements for human oversight and intervention capabilities, and continued emphasis on data minimization, only collecting and using the data you really need, and purpose limitation, only using data for the reason it was collected.
Lots to keep an eye on there. Okay, let's shift focus slightly within ethics to fairness and bias, using Patricia Chen's experience in the course. We've touched on bias, but let's define it clearly. What is algorithmic bias?
Basically, algorithmic bias refers to situations where an AI system produces outcomes that are systematically unfair or prejudiced against certain individuals or groups. It's about the results, the impact.
And how does it actually happen? Where does it come from?
It can creep in at several stages. Patricia highlighted a few key areas. Bias training data is a huge one. If the historical data used to train the AI reflects past discriminatory practices or societal biases, the AI learns those biases.
The life expectancy and zip code example.
Exactly. If life expectancy data is skewed by zip codes that reflect historical redlining or unequal access to healthcare, an AI trained on that data might unfairly penalize applicants from those zip codes.
Okay, so biased data is one source. What else?
How the problem is framed for the AI can introduce bias. If an auto insurance AI is optimized purely to maximize profit, it might learn to charge higher prices to groups it deems less likely to shop around, even if their risk profile is similar. That's bias introduced by the objective function.
The goal itself is biased.
Potentially, yes. Feature selection is another area. Which data points do you choose to include in the model? If you include features that are proxies for protected characteristics, like we discussed, maybe using granular data about home renovations as a proxy for wealth and homeowners insurance, that can bake in bias.
So choosing the wrong ingredients.
Kind of. And proxy discrimination itself, using those correlated factors like distance to a hospital as a proxy for socioeconomic status and health insurance. All these can lead to biased outcomes.
You mentioned protected classes. Can we just quickly list the common ones again?
Sure. In the U.S., typically we're talking about race, color, religion, national origin, sex, including pregnancy, sexual orientation, gender identity, age, disability, and sometimes genetic information or veteran status, depending on the context and specific laws.
And proxies can exist for any of these.
Potentially, yes. For example, last name might correlate with national origin. Certain health conditions might correlate with disability. Language patterns might correlate with ethnicity. You have to be vigilant.
So how can insurers actually test for this bias? How do they find out if their AI is producing unfair outcomes?
There are different methods. One is outcome testing. You run the AI model on real or historical data and compare the results across different demographic groups. Are applicants from one racial group getting denied significantly more often than others with similar risk profiles? That life insurance example, checking approval rates for Hispanic applicants versus others, that's outcome testing.
Looking at the actual results.
Right. Another approach is synthetic testing. You create fictitious applicant profiles where you only change one sensitive attribute like zip code or age while keeping all other risk factors identical and see if the AI treats them differently.
Kind of like a controlled experiment.
Exactly. To isolate the impact of that specific variable.
Okay, so you test and find bias. What then? How do you fix it?
There are various bias mitigation strategies, and it's an active area of research. Some focus on the data before training the AI. This is called pre-processing. Techniques include resampling the data to balance representation, removing known proxy variables, or even generating synthetic data to fill gaps.
Cleaning the data first.
Yeah. Others focus on the algorithm itself during training. You can build in mathematical constraints to ensure the model meets certain fairness metrics across groups, or you can adjust the model's outputs after training, called post-processing, to equalize outcomes.
Tweaking the model or its results.
Right. And importantly, human oversight is key. Having humans review borderline cases or unexpected AI recommendations. Plus, establishing feedback loops to continuously monitor the AI's performance in the real world and make adjustments as needed. It's not a one-time fix.
It sounds complex, and there must be tension sometimes between purely actuarial risk factors and ensuring fairness, right? How do insurers balance business needs with these ethical fairness goals?
That's the million-dollar question, really. There's often a trade-off. What's actuarially sound based purely on historical data might conflict with broader goals of social equity. Competitive pressures might push toward using certain data, while ethical standards say maybe you shouldn't. Innovation wants to move fast, but consumer protection needs caution.
The Marcus Johnson example, getting a higher life insurance quote based partly on his zip code. That highlighted this tension, didn't it?
It did. His zip code correlated with lower life expectancy stats, which is actuarially relevant. But is it fair to penalize him for where he lives, potentially due to systemic factors beyond his control? It's tough.
So what are some strategies for finding a balance?
Well, one is focusing on causal risk factors, things the individual can actually control, like smoking, rather than things they can't, like their zip code. trying hard to avoid those proxies for protected classes, maybe using what some call ethically enhanced algorithms that explicitly try to balance accuracy and fairness, or offering alternative assessment paths for people who might be unfairly disadvantaged by the standard AI model.
So it requires conscious effort and choices.
Definitely. It's not just about plugging in data and letting the AI run wild.
The course also listed some brief case studies of biased outcomes. Can we quickly touch on those?
Sure. There is an auto insurance example where using education level as a rating factor disproportionately impacted certain minority groups.
Okay.
A homeowner's insurance case where a computer vision algorithm assessing property condition performed worse on homes in lower income neighborhoods, potentially due to different architectural styles or maintenance patterns it wasn't trained on.
So technical limitations causing bias.
Yeah. A life insurance example where predictive text analysis of application essays disadvantaged non-native English speakers because their language patterns differed.
Wow.
And a health insurance case where an algorithm designed to identify patients needing more care inadvertently discriminated against Black patients because it used past healthcare cost as a proxy for need. And Black patients historically generated lower costs for the same level of illness due to access issues.
That's a really stark example of how a seemingly neutral factor like cost can lead to bias.
It really shows how careful you have to be with proxies.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move to the third pillar of ethics. Transparency and explainability. James Wilson's experience covered this. Why is it so important to be able to explain these AI decisions?
Several reasons. First, trust. Insurance is built on trust. If clients feel decisions are arbitrary or opaque, that trust erodes. Second, informed decisions. Clients need to understand why they're getting a certain recommendation or premium to make good choices. Third, regulatory compliance. As we discussed, regulators are increasingly demanding explainability.
Okay, so we talk about consumer notices. When are they typically required again?
Generally, for significant decisions affecting coverage, rates, or claims. The notice should ideally explain that AI was used, maybe the types of data involved, the purpose and potential impact, and the client's rights and options for recourse, like requesting a review.
How should these notices be given? Just buried in the fine print?
Hopefully not. The trend is towards clearer, more accessible formats. Maybe a layered approach, a simple summary up front with links to more detail, providing the notice at the time the decision is relevant, not months later.
Makes sense. Now, the tricky part, actually explaining an AI-influenced decision to a client. How can an agent do that without getting overly technical or confusing? Let's take coverage recommendations first.
Right. So the AI might suggest adding umbrella coverage based on analyzing the client's assets and liability risks. The technical explanation might involve complex model variables. The client-friendly explanation, like James suggested, focuses on the outcome and the reasoning. Based on things like your home value and potential risks we identified, the system suggests an umbrella policy could provide important extra protection. It helps cover you if a major claim exceeds your standard auto or home limits. Does that make sense?
Focusing on the why for the client, what about explaining premium differences? Why is my renewal higher?
Okay, technical answer. The multivariate predictive model adjusted your risk score based on updated territorial loss data, microsegmentation factors, and a slight increase in your correlated behavioral risk indicator.
Yeah, that won't work.
Definitely not. Client friendly. Okay, let's look at the main factors. It seems overall claims costs in our area have gone up a bit, which affects everyone's rates. Also, the system noted mention one or two key understandable factors if possible. For example, a recent speeding ticket or changes in driving patterns if using telematics. These are the main things driving that increase this year. We can review your coverages to see if there are any adjustments we can make.
Focus on the key drivers they might understand. What about delivering bad news, like an adverse decision, maybe a policy non-renewal or a claim denial influenced by AI?
Technical. The algorithm's classification output for your profile fell below the dynamically adjusted retention threshold due to predictive indicators X, Y, and Z. Client-friendly. Unfortunately, the company isn't able to renew the policy this year. The main reasons flagged were mentioned specific, understandable factors, for example, multiple recent claims, specific property condition issue identified. Here's what that means, and here are the next steps, including options for appealing or finding coverage elsewhere. Let me walk you through that. Providing clear reasons and actionable next steps is crucial.
And what if the AI just seems wrong or doesn't capture a unique situation?
That's where human judgment comes back in. James gave that classic car example. The AI might flag it as high risk based on age, but the agent knows it's immaculately kept and rarely driven. The agent needs to be empowered to explain the limitations. The standard system doesn't quite capture the specifics of a classic car like yours, let me add some notes here, and potentially override the AI recommendation based on their expertise and the client's actual situation.
So being transparent about the AI's limits too.
Yes, absolutely.
To do this explaining well, agents need good information. What about documentation practices within the agency?
Good documentation is key. Recording the key factors that influenced an AI recommendation or decision, especially if it deviates from the norm or if a human overrides it. Maintaining an appropriate level of detail enough to understand the reasoning, but not necessarily every single data point. Integrating this documentation into existing systems like the AMS or CRM, so it's easily accessible. And having clear policies on how long to keep these records.
Okay. But insurers often say their algorithms are proprietary, trade secrets. How do you balance that need for confidentiality with the need for transparency?
That's a real tension. One approach is tiered disclosure. Provide high-level explanations to clients, more detailed info to regulators if requested. Instead of revealing specific weightings in the model, maybe disclose the categories of factors considered. You resume driving record, credit-based insurance score, vehicle type. Focus explanations on the individual's specific circumstances and the factors most relevant to them, and always offer options and alternatives where possible.
So finding ways to be transparent about the what and why without giving away the secret sauce entirely.
That's the balancing act, yeah.
Okay, this has been a great overview of the ethical considerations. Now let's get really practical. How can agents actually implement and manage AI effectively in their day-to-day work? Let's start with communicating with clients, drawing on Greg Thompson's experience. How do you even begin to explain AI use to clients?
Greg's main point was transparency without making it like the main focus all the time. Be upfront that you use technology to help provide better service and insights, but frame it in terms of client benefits, faster quotes, personalized advice, etc.
Don't lead with the tech jargon.
Right. Use client-centered language. Adapt your explanation based on how tech-savvy the client seems. Some might be curious, others might not care as long as they get good service. Mm. And always emphasize that human oversight and judgment are still crucial. The tech helps, but you are their advisor.
How should the explanation change depending on how AI is being used?
You'd contextualize it. For marketing, we use tools to help us understand trends and identify clients who might benefit from certain coverages for quoting. This system helps us quickly analyze different factors to find the most accurate rate for you. For claims, we use technology like photo analysis to help speed up the initial assessment of your claim. Tailor it to the specific application.
Makes sense. What about handling questions or concerns clients might have, like, why did my premium go up, or are you selling my data?
Active listening is key first. Validate their concern. For premium increases, try to point to those specific, understandable factors we discussed, rather than blaming a black box. For data privacy, clearly explain your agency's practices and the carrier's practices how data is used, protected, and not sold inappropriately. If there's a technical glitch, take ownership, apologize, and explain how you'll fix it or get the right answer.
What if they're just generally worried about AI replacing human judgment?
Acknowledge that concern is understandable, given all the hype. Reiterate the complementary role, how AI handles the data crunching, so you can focus on understanding their unique needs, providing advice, and being their advocate. Emphasize the relationship.
So how do you build trust while using these potentially impersonal tools?
Proactive communication helps. If you adopt a new tool, maybe mention it briefly and highlight the benefit. We're using a new system to make scheduling appointments easier for you. Demonstrate concrete benefits over time, faster service, better recommendations. Crucially, maintain those human high-touch practices alongside the high-tech tools. Follow up personalized emails with a phone call. Celebrate life events. Show you still care.
Reinforcing that the tech supports the relationship, it doesn't replace it.
Exactly. And consistently demonstrate your core values acting as the client's advocate, putting their interests first. That builds trust regardless of the tools you use.
We talked about disclosures earlier. How can agents integrate those needed disclosures smoothly into their communications?
It shouldn't feel like a legalistic afterthought. Integrate disclosure language naturally into standard communications, emails, application forms, website, FAQs. Use that layered approach. Simple notice up front, link to more detail. Time the disclosure appropriately when discussing a quote. when explaining a claim decision.
Maybe different levels of detail depending on the AI's impact.
Yeah, tiered disclosure makes sense. A simple chatbot might need less disclosure than an AI making complex underwriting decisions. Visual aids like simple flowcharts could help sometimes. And clarify roles. This recommendation comes from the carrier system. Here's my take on it for your situation. Balance the regulatory need with maintaining a good client relationship.
And crucially, when should an agent's human judgment explicitly override what the AI suggests?
Greg highlighted several situations. When the AI clearly doesn't understand cultural context or nuance, when dealing with truly unique client situations that don't fit the standard data patterns, when the AI recommends something that feels ethically questionable or not truly in the client's best interest, when the client strongly prefers a different approach, even if it's less efficient according to the AI, and during significant life transitions, divorce, job loss, illness, where the data might not reflect the current reality, and empathy is paramount.
So recognizing the AI's blind spots.
Yes. And agencies should probably formalize this, empower agents, and have procedures that explicitly state human judgment takes precedence in these kinds of situations.
Okay, that's great advice on communication. Now let's talk implementation best practices based on Nancy Williams' experience. She recommended starting small and scaling up. How does that work in practice?
Her agency started with something really focused in AI tool to help standardize email signatures and maybe suggest relevant cross-sell links. Low risk, easy to learn.
Okay, super simple.
Then they moved to internal tools, maybe something to help prioritize follow-up tasks based on CRM data. Still not client-facing directly. Then, once comfortable, they looked at client-facing tools like a website chatbot or enhanced quoting features.
So a gradual progression.
Yeah. Focusing on clear business outcomes for each step. What problem are we solving? Celebrating the small wins to build momentum, learning from each implementation what worked, what didn't, and being willing to adjust course if something isn't delivering value.
Makes sense. What about training? What do staff need to learn?
Nancy suggested a multi-stage process. First, general awareness, what is AI? How is it relevant to us? Then, hands-on training for the specific tools being implemented. Crucially, training on the ethical considerations bias, transparency, when to override, and ongoing reinforcement, not just a one-off session.
Train everyone.
Yeah.
Or specific people.
Maybe a train-the-trainer approach can work, where key staff become internal experts. And definitely specialized training for those who will be communicating AI-driven insights or decisions to clients. Emphasize again that AI complements their expertise. It doesn't replace it.
Okay. Once a tool is implemented, how do you monitor its performance? You can't just set it and forget it, right?
Absolutely not. Nancy stressed monitoring across several dimensions. Technical performance. Is it working? Are there errors? Business outcomes. Is it actually improving efficiency or sales like we hoped? Quality. Is it producing accurate results? Compliance. Is it operating within regulatory guidelines and ethical principles? Client experience. Are clients finding it helpful or frustrating?
How do you track all that?
It's a mix. Some things can be monitored automatically, system logs, usage rates. Others need manual oversight reviewing AI recommendations periodically, spot checking decisions. Ad hoc monitoring might be needed if specific concerns arise. Clear responsibility needs to be assigned who owns monitoring this tool. Regular reporting, escalation protocols for problems, and maybe periodic comprehensive reviews of the AI's overall impact.
Okay. And feedback loops. How do you gather input to improve things?
Multiple loops are needed. Feedback from staff using the tools, what's working, what's clunky. Use suggestion forms, maybe regular team huddles, even just observing how they use it, shadow days. Monitor system performance data itself, error rates, completion times, comparing AI outcomes to human benchmarks, looking for anomalies.
What about client feedback?
Crucial. Use surveys, ask directly during conversations, monitor online reviews or social media mentions related to the tech. Communicate feedback to vendors if it's a system issue. And importantly, act on the feedback, make internal process adjustments, retrain staff, or work with the vendor to improve the tool. That chatbot example, clients found it confusing, so they simplified its responses based on that feedback.
Closing the loop. Okay. One last implementation point. Integrating AI with existing workflows. How do you make it fit smoothly?
First step is usually mapping your current workflows, how do things get done now? Then identify the natural points where AI could assist or take over a step. Think carefully about the handoffs, where does the automated process stop and a human need to step in and vice versa? How does data flow between systems? You want to balance efficiency gains with making sure the human still has the context they need.
So it might mean adjusting the old workflow.
Often, yes. You might need to redesign processes to really leverage what the AI can do well. User interface matters too. Make it easy for staff to interact with the AI tool within their normal screen flow. Clear status tracking so everyone knows where a task is in the blended human AI process. And like everything else, it requires ongoing refinement based on feedback.
Okay, that gives a really solid framework for practical implementation.
Okay.
Let's look ahead now, drawing on Martin Chen's insights. What are some of the evolving AI capabilities in insurance we should expect to see more of?
Martin highlighted a few key trends. Personalization is likely to get even deeper AI tailoring coverage. Pricing, even communications much more granularly to the individual. Risk assessment will become more sophisticated, probably incorporating more real-time data from sensors, wearables, the Internet of Things.
Are predictive.
Yeah, and potentially more continuous. Claims processing is ripe for more transformation. Think faster processing, more automation, maybe even AI predicting potential claims before they happen based on risk data.
And how we buy and sell insurance.
The distribution landscape will likely continue to evolve. More hybrid models, blending digital self-service with human advice for complex needs, and a bigger shift towards proactive risk management, using AI insights to help clients prevent losses in the first place, not just pay claims after the fact.
With these changes coming, how should agents prepare for the regulatory shifts that will inevitably follow?
Well, needing a deeper understanding of how AI systems arrive at decisions will be crucial for explainability requirements. Keeping up with evolving data privacy rules around consent, transparency, data minimization, security will be non-negotiable. And specifically addressing AI non-discrimination rules, understanding and mitigating proxy discrimination and disparate impact will become core compliance functions.
And what about preparing for increased automation generally? What does that mean for agency staff and structure?
Agencies need to proactively identify which functions are truly suitable for automation, probably more administrative, repetitive tasks first. This means investing in retraining and upskilling staff for roles that require more analysis, complex problem solving, exception handling, and client relationship skills.
Shifting roles.
Exactly. Adapting to changing client expectations too. Some will want purely digital. Others will still want high-touch service. Maybe tiered service models could work. Agencies might need to evolve their revenue models too, perhaps focusing more on fee-based consulting or advisory services rather than just commissions. Fostering a culture that embraces continuous change will be essential.
We keep coming back to the human element. How can agencies ensure that remains central as automation increases?
Martin stressed emphasizing empathy, especially in claims. Personalizing digital interactions, maybe with quick human follow-ups. Framing AI as a tool to enhance human capabilities, freeing up agents for more meaningful interactions. Ensuring robust human oversight for critical AI recommendations. And fundamentally, cultivating an agency culture that genuinely values human judgment, ethical behavior, and strong client relationships above all else.
Finally, continuous learning. In such a fast-moving field, how can agents stay current?
It's a constant process. Stay plugged into industry resources, publications, webinars, association updates. Develop practical skills through vendor training or peer groups. Encourage structured experimentation within the agency pilot projects to test new tools. Prioritize learning about the ethical and regulatory dimensions that's not optional. Create ways to share knowledge internally. And remember to balance learning about the latest tech with deepening that core insurance expertise. Technology changes, but risk principles and client advocacy endure.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, wow, we've covered a huge amount of ground, from just understanding AI basics to its applications, the ethics, the practicalities, the future.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It really feels like the insurance world is changing fast.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, the core job hasn't really changed, has it? It's still about helping clients understand and manage their risks.
That's the anchor. And I think the main takeaway from all this is that the best path forward isn't AI versus humans. It's AI and humans.
Oh.
It's about thoughtfully blending the strengths of technology with the irreplaceable value of human judgment and empathy.
Using tech to enhance our ability to do that core job better.
Exactly. That's where the real value lies. Combining the efficiency and insights of AI with the relationship building and nuanced understanding of a human professional.
So this is definitely an ongoing journey, right? Things will keep changing.
For sure. Regulations will evolve, the tech will get smarter, client expectations will shift. The agents and agencies that succeed will be the ones who embrace continuous learning, stay flexible, and keep that focus on ethical practices and genuinely serving their clients' needs.
Okay. So for everyone listening, as you process all this, maybe take a moment to think about your own situation. We encourage you to develop a sort of personal AI action plan.
Good idea. Maybe start by just assessing, where does AI already touch my work or my agency, even if I didn't realize it?
Yeah. Then identify maybe one or two key pain points or opportunities where AI might help. What takes up too much time? Where could we serve clients better?
Then start evaluating some tools. What are carriers offering? What affordable third-party options are out there? Talk to peers.
Think about developing some basic guidelines or governance for how you'll approach AI use, even if it's simple to start.
Definitely. And create a plan for your own learning and maybe your team's. What do you need to know more about?
And finally, establish some way to track progress and accountability. How will you know if an AI tool is actually making a positive difference?
Those steps can make it feel much more manageable.
Absolutely. Because ultimately, the real opportunity here isn't just about automation for its own sake.
Right. It's about using AI to enhance our human judgment, to free us up to provide more insightful advice, more personalized service, and to focus our expertise where it truly matters most for our clients.
Strengthening that core purpose of insurance, providing security and peace of mind.
That's the goal. Using technology thoughtfully to better fulfill that fundamental mission.